all we can, because we're going to need it in these latter days. And I pray, oh God, for our pastor, that he might just bring it with power, God, and we might just absorb every bit of it, and we might walk away a better Christian and serve you like we've never served you before. And God, I pray for our country tonight. Oh, we're a country tonight that needs leadership, God. We need desperately, Lord, we need leaders that will stand up and stand for God tonight, that we might be the country that you'd have us to be, God. And Lord, would you forgive us, Lord, all the many times that we stumble and we fall. But God, tonight we look up to you and we say, Lord, oh God, thank you for all your many blessings. And most of all tonight, we say thank you for saving our lost soul tonight, that we might one day see you and bow before you and proclaim, Lord, that you are the Lord of lords, yes. Lord. And Lord, that Jesus Christ is King. And Lord, tonight I pray for these sick folks. Lord, there are those that are facing death. We might all be facing death before them. But God, seemingly, Lord, they're going to be standing before you before long. And Lord, their families, they need a touch. Yes. These sick folks need a touch. Mm-hmm. And I pray, oh God, that our country needs a touch. You would heal our country tonight. And God, be with all of our church folks that's out for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And again, Lord, I pray for this service tonight, that it might be a service that you'll be proud of. Mm-hmm. And we love you tonight.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for a place called heaven tonight, yes. Mm-hmm. That one day we can go and be there with you throughout the ceaseless ages. Mm-hmm. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Psalm 67 tonight. And this is our great hope. And that's the title of this psalm. You might have a subtitle in your Bible that says, Let All Nations Praise God. Well, we as a people ought to be praising God every single day. And so God is our great hope. Amen? Well, in Psalm 67... tonight we read, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Well, David here in this psalm, he's simply describing God's desire for the world. You know, we have such a loving God tonight. And you think about how we failed him. And you think about what goes on in this world today. And then I think of that great Bible verse, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We all at one time or another were enemies of the cross. We all at one time or another had no time for God. And yet God's desire is that not one of us should perish, no, not one. God's desire is that all the nations of the earth, in other words, all the people of the earth, would praise him, that they would live for him, that they would receive his gift of so great salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's just amazing, isn't it? When you stop and think, how can people be so blatantly wicked? How can people be so stiff-necked? How can people be so hard-hearted? But you know, we don't have to look very far, do we? All we got to do is look in the mirror. What are some areas where you're still maybe a little bit stiff-necked? Where are some areas where maybe we're not all that we need to be? But God's describing his desire here, that all the nations of the earth would give him praise, honor, and glory. And this should be every Christian's desire. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, souls are hanging in the balance in your world. Because each and every one of us has a circle of influence. There are certain people in our lives that only you will see. Your pastor never going to see them. Your brother deacon's never going to see them. Maybe your sister in Christ never going to see them, but you see them. And it should be your desire to see them come to Christ by praying for them, by taking every opportunity to discover a teachable moment that you might share a word of what God is doing in your own life, what God is doing in your church's life, how great God is, that you might magnify the name of God. You know, if you look at this first verse here, God, be merciful unto us. Do you realize tonight, every one of us could testify that God has been merciful to us this day? As a matter of fact, the Bible says it is of his mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Listen, as we gather here tonight, we can testify that we have a faithful God because he got us up this morning. He's seen us through this day. He's brought us here tonight. He is a faithful, merciful, compassionate God. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you been perfect today? You haven't had one bad thought, haven't said one bad word, or haven't done one bad act? Did you take every opportunity to share with somebody else about Jesus today? How have you used your day? Did you take a moment this morning to read his word, to say, thank you, God, for your word that I have the privilege and the freedom in this nation to be able to pick up my Bible and read it without fear of someone kicking in my door? God has been merciful to us today. And then we always want God to bless us. Anybody here who doesn't want God to bless them? Didn't think so. We always want God to bless us. Why are we so foolish at times? We even want God to bless us when we know we're doing bad. Isn't that true? We always want God's face to shine upon us. This takes us back to the cross. When Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, in that moment, Jesus experienced something that you and I have never experienced. The eyes, the face of God turned away from him. We've not experienced that in our lifetimes, no matter how bad we've suffered. God's face is always toward us. But if we continue to reject his love, if we continue to reject his mercy, as we're doing as a nation, let's talk about this from a nation aspect first. If America continues to turn her back on God, and by the way, there is a new quarter someone was sharing with me that is out where the back of Washington is now turned to God in the quarter where it says, "In God we trust." Used to be on his nose, he's now on his back. Another instance where we as a nation continue to turn away from God. Guys, God can't bless us if we're going to be ignorant. There will come a time when the blessing of God, the hand of God, where God will say, "You've gone this far and no farther." And we're very close to that tonight as a nation when we have a president who's making deals with terrorists to lower the, to give us oil. When we have all the resources here that God has supplied us with, but it is the ignorance of man that thinks there's always a better way. It's the ignorance of man that has this critical race theory, LGBTQ agenda, and everything else that is out there. What is that saying? It is our Supreme Court that said God don't know what he's talking about when it comes to marriage. And since that day, every other attendant sin has come right to the forefront. God cannot bless sin. And we have got to turn away from sin. We have got to want to repent of our sin that God can bless us. You see, David here states God's desire. God's desire is that he can be merciful, that he can bless us, that he can cause his face to shine upon us. But then there's Christ. And there he is on the cross. What happened at the cross? Why did God turn his face away from his blessed Son? Think about this. A wonderful transaction. We've all experienced it. If you're a child of God tonight, you have experienced this. The Bible puts it this way, "But he took him who knew no sin and made him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's break that verse down a little bit. "But he took him." God the Father took him, Christ the Son, and made him sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ the Son. In other words, at the cross, you came and you repented of your sin, and what God did was lift the burden of your sin off of you, and he put it up on his Son, and he took all the righteousness, grace, and goodness of God and off of his Son, and he laid it down here on us. "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, "And that he died for all, that they who live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again." You see, at the cross, God had to look away because all of the sins of the world were placed on Christ. And God will not look on sin. Now think about some of the sins of the world. You don't have to think very long or very hard because they come so quickly, don't they? I mean, we've seen some mass killings here. And God died for those. Judas betrayed him. But God died for him. Christ died for him. Remember? Jesus washed his feet. Peter denied him. Why was Peter forgiven and Judas not? Peter asked. Judas did not. It's just that simple. If you don't ask, you cannot be forgiven. So when we look at the first link in the chain of the mercies of God to us, The very first length, I would say, it would have to be forgiveness. Isn't it great to be a forgiven sinner? Isn't it great to be a saint and no longer a sinner? What's a saint? Is it someone who's always perfect, who never does anything wrong? What's the difference between a saint and a sinner? Repentance, forgiveness, Christ. The difference between a saint and a sinner is simply this. A sinner continues to practice sin. A saint sins occasionally, but he doesn't stay in his sin. That's the difference. He's repented. He's been forgiven. There's not a single one of us, myself included, and I'm probably the chief sinner of all. I know Paul liked to say that, didn't he, in the Bible, but I'd argue with him. But we don't continue to practice it. We occasionally stumble, don't we? But then we remember that great verse in the Bible, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. There's times when we need to be cleansed, right? This nation needs to be cleansed. This nation needs to repent. The leaders of this nation need to stop with their foolishness, to stop denying God, to stop what they're doing, and consider how great and marvelous is the grace of God. Listen, Christians are blessed not because they are better than the non-Christians. Christians are blessed because their sins are forgiven. And as forgiven sinners, we are to share our blessings with others who are trapped as we once were, so that they might be free to be blessed. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can God bless sin? What say you, church? No. What if it's just a little tiny itty-bitty sin? Will God bless it? Then why do we seek to continue to justify these things and make excuses? Let me tell you tonight, all those proponents of the LGBTQ agenda, critical race theory, and all the other foolish nonsense that is taking place in this nation, no matter what excuse, no matter what reason they give, it's still God says it's wrong. And if God says it's wrong. End of story. There is no argument. Because God says it's wrong. Friends, we cannot go beyond what God has said. You cannot go beyond the Bible and give approval to something that someone is engaged in that God says is wrong. Number one, if you give approval to that, you're not thinking with the mind of Christ. Number two, if you give approval to that, do you realize you are denying God? This is God's word, not the pastor's word. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but Jesus says, my words will never what? They'll never pass away. Again, Christians are not better than non-Christians. The only difference is Christians are blessed because they've repented of their sin. You know, in this nation, we've seen some hard times since the year 2000, haven't we? But you know what? God's seen you through every step of the way, hadn't he? All your needs have been met. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. In the midst of turmoil, we can always have peace no matter what's going on because, as the Bible says, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. No matter what's taking place in the world, we can always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4, 4. I mean, we have such great promises that God has given us in His Word. We have such great hymns, don't we? Jesus, keep me near the cross. You know, we can draw near to God no matter what we're going through because we know that we are blessed. We are a child of the living God. As Christians, unfortunately, in today's world, too many Christians are terminals instead of channels. Do you know what a terminal is? It's where something stops. That's not what the song says. We don't stand up and say, make me a terminal of blessing today. No, what's the song say? Make me a channel of blessing. In other words, what God gives into us should flow out of us. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. You see, one of the reasons we are where we are as a nation is because too many church people stopped being a channel and became a terminal. We stopped testifying. We stopped talking about what God was doing in our lives. We stopped thinking about it wasn't us, it's God. God has seen us through, not we ourselves. We've nothing to boast in. God is the giver of all things, isn't He? You know what the greatest enemy of mankind is? It's ignorance. Here we have the written word of God. Here we have every promise, every blessing. No matter what you're facing on your journey in life, your answer to that is in here. If you will earnestly seek God in His Word, He will direct your path. We all know the Bible verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what's the promise? He shall direct your path. But unfortunately, we tend to live too much in Proverbs 3:7. The verse says, depart from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Well, unfortunately, far too many people today think they can be wise in their own eyes, don't they? And they don't really trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean to trust? I guess it could mean this. You just jump, and God will catch you. You're trusting God. Now, you don't tempt God, but here's what I mean. You know, you've seen them trust drills that people do where they fall over backwards and the co-worker is supposed to catch him. Guys, when we fall, God will catch us. When we need lifted up, God will lift us up. When we need God's protection, God will protect us. When we need a word of encouragement, God will supply it. When we're going through the heartaches of life and don't know where to turn and can't even pray, the Bible says that the Spirit will make intercession for us. You see, God's got us covered. And we just need to understand that. But think of this world we're living in today. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created them male and what? Female. It's real simple. If you're born with a stem, you a boy. If you don't have a stem, you a girl. End of story, right? That's all there is to it. You don't have the equipment as a man to have a baby. And yet, this is the foolishness that they're trying to teach children in the public schools. They're trying to teach a victim's mentality through critical race theory. Critical race theory simply states that you are a blob when you come in. And you're just a blank canvas. And then you get to decide whether you want to be a boy, a girl, or something else. I'm not the way I am. It's Randy's fault. It's Pam's fault. It's my mama's fault. It's somebody else's fault. I am not responsible for anything. This is what they're trying to teach our children. Where is America today? You can find her in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, where God has a 23 and count indictment against man. What are they doing? When God says, and God gave them up, and God gave them up, and God gave them over. They are simply living their lives by engaging in all of the things that God says we ought not to be engaged in. Men with men, women with women, doing that which is unseemly. Listen, if God was not going to judge what he calls an abomination, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah a great apology. Such is the ignorance of man. In this word, we have everything we need for life. We have everything we need to live the kind of life that God wants us to live, that we might be blessed, as he says here, that God could be merciful to us. Let me ask you a question tonight. Should God be merciful to America? Based on her present behavior, what do you think? Now, we all want God to be merciful to America because we live in here. But that's not the question. Should a righteous, holy God be merciful to America at the present moment? Ask yourself this question. Could God bless America at this present moment? Now, this is interactive, so you can say yes, no, or shake your head. Do something. No. How come we can understand that and the leaders of this nation cannot? And the reason is because we have God's word and they refuse to receive or accept God's word. And that's the ignorance of man. Do you realize that every one of us here tonight have some measure of strength? Only by the grace of God. Without God, we don't have any strength at all. Without God, you will not draw another breath. Without God, you will not walk another step. Without God, your heart will not beat another beat. Boy, hasn't God been merciful to us? And yet, in our arrogance as a nation, we say, we did this. We can change it. We can make the laws. We can tell. We can change. We can determine. No, we can't. Again, it's simple as the equipment you were born with. God said that he created them male and female. And in man's arrogance, God created two sexes, and man wants to create five. LGBTQ. That's ignorant, isn't it? Well, let's get back to this, because our hope is God. That thy way may be known upon the earth. Do you know the way God's ways get known upon the earth? is when you as a child of God begin to talk to the people in your circle of influence and tell them about God and tell them about His Word and tell them about what God is doing, how God saved you, how God's been merciful to you, how God's protected your family, how God's watched over you, how God has cared for you. God has been with you every step of the way since you got saved, hasn't He? And He was with you before you got saved because He brought His Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin while you were still an enemy of the cross and didn't even realize you had a need for God. But since you've come to know God, think of some of the things you've been through. Think of some of the things we've been through in just this group of people. Now, this being... We don't want to share everything because we're being live on TV. But just think about some of the things some of you have gone through. There's been times when you wondered if your spouse was going to make it. When you didn't know if you were going to have another day, another hug, another kiss, another word of I love you in some of the families here. There were times when your men or your women were broken up. Health issues. Physical issues. There were times when people wondered if they were going to have a job, if they stood up and if they spoke out against this ungodly policy, then they tried to bring it into Russell County and that was being filmed, and there were men who worried if they'd have a job the next morning because, you know, they were caught on camera standing up for God. Their livelihood hung in the balance, but God protected them. Think of the things we've been through as a church. And yet we're still here. God is faithful, isn't He? And so the way His ways get known is when we go out and tell. We go out and say, you know, I was down. And when I was down, I was destitute. When I was destitute, I looked up and I saw God. And I looked under the hills, and from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Let me tell you what God's done for me. You know, I remember a man who I would text a prayer because I didn't know if he had his phone or not. I didn't know whether he got the prayers I texted or not. But then I got this text back and I got a phone call when I get back to church. He was already looking for the victory that God was going to bring. He didn't know if he'd see it, but he was counting on it. When I get back to church, I'm going to come and praise the Lord. First thing I'm going to do is go to the altar. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to jump and shout for joy. You know, that man's here tonight, and that's exactly what he did. You know, praise the Lord. What a testimony. You know, we're so worn down, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Or have we just become callous to the things that God is doing in our lives that we forget to tell. We forget to tell others. This is where I was. I was in the miry pit, but God picked me up and set my feet upon a solid rock and put a new song in my mouth. That's what the psalmist said. God has put a new song in our mouth. And when we leave here tonight, the next thing we have to do is say, man, you should have been in church tonight. That plumb crazy pastor of ours, he was going on about all the blessing of God, and man, I got pumped up. I got encouraged. We got an awesome God. You know, it's never as bad as you think it is it? And it's never as good as you think you have it. But there's always God. He is our source of all things. He's the air we breathe. I think that's one of those old praise songs. He is the air I breathe. You know, our God is an awesome God. Let the people praise Thee. You know, one of the saddest things in church today, not only are we not going out and telling people about God, but in a lot of churches, when it comes time to sing, a lot of voices are silent. And you've heard me talk about this before. No one can worship or praise God for you but you. God gave you a voice. He didn't give me a voice for you. Or he didn't give somebody else your voice. He gave you your voice, because when your voice begins to offer praise in the sanctuary and it's combined with all the other voices, it makes a beautiful melody to his ears. Now, it don't matter what you sound like to the person next to you. They ain't nobody anyway. And it don't matter whether you think you're a good singer or not. All that matters is that you give God the praise, because nobody can do it for you. And we see it here. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. You imagine what would this nation would be like right now if the people were praising God? Do you think that all the nonsense down there in the swamp in Washington would be taking place if the people were praising God? God can silence the critics. God can silence fools. They don't stand a chance if God's people will praise the Lord. Do you know why we don't have critical race theory and the LGBTQ agenda being taught in Russell County schools right now this year? That fight's not over, by the way. It'll be ongoing. Last year was just the first skirmish. But the reason we don't have it is because God's people showed up and God's people showed out and God's people spoke up and they went away. Isn't it amazing? In a traditional democratic state, we have a Republican governor who stands for the word of God. Only God could do that. Do you realize why we have Governor Youngkin? Because the people of Southwest Virginia showed up and showed out and voted. In Southwest Virginia, when they came out and voted, more people voted in the last governor election than ever before in Southwest Virginia. You see, Northern Virginia don't control Virginia. God's people do. And when God's people go to the polls and vote, God removes hindrances. Like that former fool that we had as a governor. Now we've got someone who stands up for God's people at this present time. You see, we ought to be telling God or telling people what God did in Southwest Virginia last year when God's people stood up, showed out, and spoke out. That's praise. Every time you tell that story, you're giving God the glory. That's all it is. Just give God the glory, amen? Do you deserve any glory? No. God deserves all the glory. Let the people praise thee, O God. Verse 5, let the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. When will God pour out his blessings? When the people praise him. Think about that. Right now, America is suffering as she's never suffered before. I don't know about you, every time you go to the grocery store, the prices are higher and you can't even buy what you want anyway. Why? It's not Putin. It's not the Ukraine. It's the swamp. But it's also this. the people of the Lord are not praising the Lord. Look what the Bible says here. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. He ain't talking about the non-believer. He's talking about the Christian. When the Christian stands up and begins to sing out and praise God and talk, then shall the earth yield her increase. It's sort of like, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, repent, and seek my face, then I will hear their prayer and do what? Heal their land. You see what God is saying here. He says it here in the Psalm. He says it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And yet, we haven't repented. We haven't wanted to be revived. We haven't wanted to be healing. Well, we want to be healed, but we want it on our terms. But we don't want to be healed the way God wants to heal the nation. Unless we repent, unless we praise, unless we give thanks, unless we speak out, the earth can't yield her increase. And God cannot heal our land. And then verse 7, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know, I think in our nation over the last several years, unfortunately, in too many places, we feared man and not God. We're worried about what somebody might do to us. What somebody might, what if they harm us? What if they burn our house down? What if they do such and such? We're worried about losing things that aren't going to last anyway. Rather than standing up and speaking out for God. Guys, this world isn't our home. We're just passing through. We're going on to glory. Do you think if God was to allow evil that you wouldn't have a new home? I've lived through a fire. And I've seen everything go. And I've seen God give it all back. You know, when I was a young child, I was in school. They came to get us. Said, you got to go home now. I said, why? Jim was coming. I wanted to stay for Jim. You got to go home now. Why? Your house is on fire. I had to leave school, go home. Nothing they could do. It was gone. But God gave it all back and more. Because that's what he does. I'm his child. You're his child. It may not be what it was, but it'll be better than what it was. Think of Job. He hadn't done anything wrong. God just allowed Satan to test him. Because God wanted to prove Satan wrong. Job went through 80 double hockey sticks. But he came out the other end blessed again. Because God is God. He's our hope. He's our great hope. Hope in God. He's on the throne. Hope in God. You're one of his own. Hope in God. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Speak up. Praise. Tell. And watch what the Lord will do. Brother James, would you kindly close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that because of your great love and mercy and your sacrifice, we have hope, Lord. Without you, Lord, we would be nothing. We could do nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the message tonight, for the word of encouragement. be with us and guide us as we go from here. Lord, help us to let our light shine for you and give you all the praise and the glory, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.